prayer before we read just a few verses from 2 Corinthians 12. Father, we want to thank you this morning for being with us as we have worshipped you, and thank you for speaking to us in that prophetic way. And we just ask as we turn to your word now, the things that you want us to glean from your word, we would hear what you have to say. Lord, open our ears to hear what you are saying. Encourage those that need encouragement. Correct those that need correction. Lord, you know what we need this morning, and we are looking to you for that, to take from your hand this morning all that you give us. Lord, give us that heart that responds to you rightly this morning, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, read from verse 7 to verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12. Excuse me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Excuse me. So Paul is now saying here, this is, he's been given these amazing revelations of God, and the Lord has given or sent this thorn in the flesh, he calls it. I don't want to go into that this morning. He sent this thorn in the flesh so that Paul would not exalt himself. Now, isn't that encouraging? Because, you know, sometimes we think that when there's a sort of inner pride swelling up within us, that this is sort of peculiar to us. Well, actually, Paul suffered with the same thing, and he had to deal with it, and we have to deal with the same thing as well. The Lord sent this thorn in the flesh so that he would not exalt himself. But that's not really what I want to look at this morning. It's really what follows from that, because Paul immediately called on the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away. And we can be a bit like that, can't we? When a thorn in the flesh comes, and we'll just look at that in a second, about the weakness that Paul talks about. Because when things happen to us that we don't like, that we find uncomfortable, our first reaction, naturally, is to call on the Lord to take it away from us. We don't want this, Lord. This is difficult. This is uncomfortable. And I really want to look at this idea of becoming strong out of weakness. Because Paul said at the end of verse 10, when I am weak, then I am strong. He said in verse 10, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, what was Paul saying? What was he meaning about these weaknesses? The word in the Greek means infirmities. It could mean sicknesses. And he goes on, I think, and gives a sort of wider definition, I think, following that. With insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So the weaknesses that we encounter, whether it's through infirmities, through a sickness, whether physical, in the mind, whatever, whether it's a position of weakness that we're in, and those positions of weakness that Paul describes here are things like persecution, insults. We're in a position where we can't do anything about it. We've just got to receive what's being given us. And we are powerless to stop those insults, those persecutions. I don't think weaknesses here, excuse me, refer to weaknesses in character. Because God clearly shows us that our character is to be transformed and changed. That's a given for every believer. But the weaknesses Paul describes here are to do with infirmity, sicknesses perhaps, insults, persecutions, and difficulties that come our way. Now, I'm not saying we should not be praying, like Paul said, to take it away. There are certainly occasions where we need to be calling on the Lord for healing. You know, we're really looking to the Lord would take us on in healing. That we would see more of his hand upon us in this area, bringing deliverance, bringing healing. But there are occasions when God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul three times cried out to the Lord, Lord, take it from me. I can't deal with this. This is too much. And we can be a bit like that as well. Maybe you're in a position today where you are calling upon the Lord to take something away from you. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. It may be perfectly right that you're calling for that, but it may also be right that you just need to look to the Lord for the grace that he wants to give you in the midst of the struggle that you're in, of the infirmity, of the difficulty, because God is able to give you what you need so that that weakness that you're experiencing becomes a strength in the sight of God. It becomes a strength in the sight of God. Excuse me. You see, even Jesus, even the Lord Jesus himself, knew this weakness. Turn to the next chapter in 2 Corinthians 13. Let's just read a verse there. For indeed, Jesus, verse 4, chapter 13, for indeed Jesus was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. So Jesus chose this position of weakness. This wasn't a weakness because he was naturally weak in a sense. He chose this position of weakness, of taking on human form, being in this position, submitting to the will of the Father, so that he was crucified in weakness. But praise God, it was because of that crucifixion that we now live ourselves, that we can now come into the place of knowing Christ for ourselves and being right with God. So God worked something marvelous, something of real strength came out of this weakness that Christ suffered on the cross, and we are living in the good of that today. The Garden of Gethsemane was another time when the Lord Jesus cried out to the Lord, Lord, if there's any other way that this can be done without me going through this, then please, let's go that way. But he also said, but not my will be done, but your will. So the Lord Jesus knew weakness as well. But he also knew that strength that comes through the weakness. And that's what I want to look at this morning, really. That the strength that can come to us, even though we're in a place of weakness, even though we might be facing difficulties, we're in a place of an infirmity, a disability even. And we can't get rid of it. We can't shake it off. It's not something that we can get rid of. And maybe the Lord has called us to live with it. Well, how do we know, how can we know that strength that comes out of that weakness? And I want to look at four different things this morning, so that just like Paul, you and I would be able to say, when I am weak, then I am strong. That was also a testimony for those who live by faith as well. Let me just read this from Hebrews chapter 11. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 32, what more shall I say? For the time will fail me. If I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong. Isn't that marvelous, friend? This is the testimony. This can be our testimony too, that from weakness we can be made strong. The weaknesses that we face, the weaknesses that we are facing, maybe on a daily basis, are not to define us. We're not to be defined by our weaknesses, but we're to be defined by what God does through those weaknesses and the opportunity that God is given because of them. So I want to look at now how we come to that place like Paul came to, when he could say that he's content with his weaknesses. He boasted in his weaknesses. Now, I'm not there yet. I have to admit that, friend. I don't know whether you might be. But it's difficult for us to say that we can be content with weaknesses. And yet that's what the Lord wants us to be, to be like Paul, so that we can say that I am well content with weaknesses. Now, how is that going to happen? How do we come to that place where we can say like Paul, when I am weak, then I am strong? Well, the first thing, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12. If you want to go back there, if you've not kept that page, go back there and we'll just look at that verse again. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am strong, then I am weak. The first thing I want to say is this, is that word then. It's when we arrive at that place of recognizing that we can't do anything for ourselves in this position. We can't change it, and the Lord isn't dealing with it in a way that's taking it away. Then God can step in. It's at that position, that time, when we acknowledge this, when we don't try and hide it, maybe. Maybe we're trying to cover up a weakness, or trying to ignore a weakness, pretend it doesn't exist. That's never going to lead us to that place where we can know the strength and the grace of God. We have to admit it. And it's then, when I acknowledge it, when I admit it, when I'm honest with God, that God can do something in my life. And out of that weakness, he can bring me to a position of strength. James 4, verse 6. Again, let me just read this to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this to you. Because again, another encouragement. It says this, James 4, verse 6. But God gives a greater grace. Therefore it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So God gives a greater grace. I love that, that there's a little word there in front of the word grace, and it's greater grace. God's grace that he wants to provide for us and give us in that place of weakness is greater weakness. It's greater than our infirmity. It's greater than the disability that we're facing. It's greater than any problem, any persecution, any insult, any distress that we might be facing or may face in the future. The grace that God wants to give us is greater than all of those things. God, friends, gives a greater grace. His grace is never insufficient. It's always abundant for the place that we find ourselves in. God gives a greater grace. But note this, James 4 points that out as well. The grace comes to those who humble themselves. And humility involves us admitting and acknowledging our weakness and our need for God's intervention and his grace. And I've just thought of a very simple illustration here. I'm teaching maths in school to two boys. Both are very weak in the subject. One of them hides it and he won't admit it. And I can't help him like I want to help him. The other recognizes his weakness. He knows he's not very strong in this subject, and he knows he needs help, and he's very glad to receive and ask for help. He is the one who becomes strong out of the weak position that he's in because he's acknowledged his need of help. The other, unfortunately, is limited. He can't get beyond a certain point because he will not acknowledge that he needs help and that he is weak in this area. Friends, we need to be honest with God. When there's a weakness in our lives, when there's an infirmity, when there's things that we're facing and difficulties, we have to acknowledge before him that we cannot face these ourselves. It was brought up in the worship this morning that we need the help of God's Holy Spirit. We need his help, his grace, to face these things and to come to that place where we can say, when I am weak, then I am strong. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this. We need to see our weaknesses as God sees them. So often we see them from such a natural perspective, don't we? And depending on what sort of character we have, whether we're pessimistic or optimistic, we can have extremes of opinions and views of how our weaknesses are to be dealt with and looked at. But we need to see our weaknesses from God's perspective. And look at that verse 10 again. Paul says this, after he describes those weaknesses, the insults, the persecution, he says, for Christ's sake. You see, Paul knew that what he was facing and going through was for the sake of Christ. Friends, our weaknesses are opportunities for God. Let's see them like that. Our weaknesses are not there to overcome us, to beat us down, to bring us into a place of subjection. A place of defeat. Our weaknesses are opportunities for God. Maybe God would deliver us completely from them. What an opportunity that is for God to show his power. But maybe it's an opportunity for God to show his strength, give his grace to us so that we can come through that to a position of strength. Friends, we need to understand that everything God allows in our lives is for Christ's sake. It is for the sake of him. And it is for our best as well. It's for our sake as well. See, Paul, when he was locked up in prison, didn't mope, he didn't complain. He actually said this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Several times he says that in his letters. So Paul recognized that even when he was in prison, it wasn't because the authorities were in control and had put him there to quiet him down and whatever else they were trying to do. He was in prison because he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, and God had allowed this. We need to understand something more of God's sovereignty in our lives, friends. Our weaknesses are God's opportunities. They are opportunities for God to show something more of his power, his might, and his grace in our lives. Back to 2 Corinthians 13. It says there in verse 4, for indeed Jesus was crucified because of weakness, yet, thank God for the yet he lives because of the power of God. The power of God was demonstrated in raising the Lord Jesus from that position of weakness, of death. You see, we need to see ourselves in Christ. Our position is in him. Let's not let our weaknesses define us, friends. We need to be defined by our position in Christ. And that's one of real strength, where the resurrection power of God should be at work in our lives, where the life of Christ should be evident in us, despite our weaknesses, despite the fact that God allows difficulties in our lives. They are not to be the things that define us. We are to be defined by our position in the Lord Jesus Christ as sons and daughters of the living God. Oh friends, may that be more and more true for you and for me as well. I know sometimes we can be overwhelmed sometimes, and these things can define us and they can bring us to a place of real discouragement. But God does not want us to come to that place of discouragement and allow the weakness to overwhelm us. He wants us to rise up with the Lord Jesus Christ in him and allow his strength to get a hold of us, his power to take a hold of us, so that we can have that testimony as well. So friends, secondly, let's see our weaknesses as God sees them from his perspective. They are opportunities for God to demonstrate his power and his grace in our lives. That's how we need to see them, friends. May he give us the grace to see them like that more and more. Thirdly, the third thing we need to do is we need to look to God for the grace itself. We need to be calling upon him. Paul called upon the Lord three times for these things to be taken away, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. But we need to be calling upon the Lord for the grace that we need, in any weaknesses that we're finding ourselves in. These things don't happen automatically. We need to be depending upon God, looking to him, calling upon him. We have a God, friends, who will respond to the heart cry. We are not worshipping a dead God. We're worshipping the living God, the God who has ears and hears our cries. He wants to hear that call from us. He wants to hear that we're depending upon him, that we're looking to him. And as we look to him, as we call upon him, God is able to give that grace. And grace is more than just favor, friends. Yes, it's God's favor. It's his unmerited favor, but it's much more than that. It's linked in this passage to the power of God. God's grace is to do with his enabling, his ability, his strength, his power that God wants to give us. Friends, God wants us to know more of that. We're living in days, I believe, that we need to know more of that. We will need to know more of that. We've faced a little persecution in this country, but increasingly we are seeing the tide turning. And God wants us to know the grace that sees us take a hold of the power of God in our lives, so that we can stand in these dark times, in these difficult times. So friends, let's call upon him. The Lord Jesus called upon him. Hebrews 5 verse 7. Let's just read this. I'll read this to you. The Lord Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out, he needed the help of his Father. He needed all the grace that his Father could give him. All the help, all the power, all the strength that God could give him at that time. Hebrews 5 verse 7 says this. In the days of his flesh, the Lord Jesus offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. The Lord Jesus was heard because of his piety. That word piety means reverent fear. May we have that in our day, friends. But if we are crying to the Lord on that same basis, the Lord will hear us. Don't be afraid of tears, friends. The Lord sometimes wants to see our tears flowing. It shows that we are earnest, we are sincere, we mean things. So friends, let's make sure that we are calling upon him. Yes, with loud cries. God doesn't mind it if we raise our voices and we cry to him when we're in need. He loves it when we cry to him because it shows that we are looking to him alone. We are depending upon him as our Father, as our Redeemer, our Rock, our Savior, the one who can help, the one who can give us all the grace that we need. Friends, we need to be looking to him. As well as seeing things from his perspective, we then need to come to him and call upon him and cry to him for all the help that he's given, that he can give us. And when we do that, we're in the perfect position to receive the grace and the power of God. So friends, let's make sure we come to that place by calling upon him and looking to him. And then fourthly, I'm back to Hebrews 11 for this. The fourth thing I want to say about God bringing us to a place of strength out of weakness. Yes, we need to acknowledge our position, our weakness. We need to see things from God's perspective. We need to call on God. And the fourth thing is we need to trust God. We need to be trusting that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. That verse in chapter 11 of Hebrews, from weakness we're made strong. The context here is faith. Believing what God has said. These men of old, it talks about, think of the men of old who knew strength in a position of great weakness. Think of Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. Powerless in the face of King Nebuchadnezzar, powerless in the face of the wrath of that king, who was so angry, he heated up the furnace much, much hotter than it was normally heated up and got them thrown in. They were powerless, they were weak, they could not defend themselves. And yet they believed God, they trusted God, and they said to Nebuchadnezzar, look, if the Lord wants to heal us, save us out of your hand, he's well able to do that. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow the knee. Oh, friends, we're going to need that attitude increasingly in the days ahead, I believe. May God give us the grace that we need for that. But you see, when we believe God, as those three men did, our weaknesses can be turned to strength. From weakness, we're made strong out of that position of terrible weakness before King Nebuchadnezzar. And then being thrown into the furnace, the fire was quenched. Figuratively, because it did not touch them, and God was able to deliver them out of that into a position of strength before the king. Friend, this is the power of God to bring us out of a position of weakness to a position of strength, not by necessarily removing our weaknesses, but by his grace and his power working in our lives, because we've trusted in him, we've depended upon him, we've put our faith in him. Friends, we need to be doing that. Let's trust God. When God says, I will meet all your needs, then let's trust that he will do that, even as a fellowship. You know, we're in a position of weakness as a fellowship in the eyes of the world. We don't have a building. We have a field. We can't meet because it's raining. It's a position of real weakness. But you know, in that place of weakness, God is able to demonstrate his power and his grace as we trust him, as we look to him, as we see things from his perspective, and don't get discouraged. God is able to show his strength, even in us corporately, as well as individually. God is able to show strength and give us the strength that we need, so that we'll be able to say, as a body of believers, even though we are weak, we are strong. Because God is with us, God's grace is upon us, his power is at work in our lives, corporately as well as individually. And therefore, we can have this testimony that Paul had. Even though the weakness isn't taken away, we can still have this testimony as Paul said, that we can be content with our weaknesses. Oh God, may the Lord give us all the grace that we need to come to that place and acknowledge these things. Well, friend, just in the last 5-10 minutes. Excuse me. What are the consequences when we are in that place that Paul was in, so that we have come to a place of strength even in weakness? I want to give just a few consequences that come out of this. The first thing that we will be able to have is a testimony. God wants every one of you and me to have a testimony of His grace and of His power being at work in our lives, even in the place of weakness, so that we will be able to proclaim to others what God has done. Just as Paul is telling us here what God did for him, we will have a testimony. And we'll have a testimony even corporately as well. At the end of all that we're going through, God wants us to have a testimony. We can look back and say, this is what God did. This is the grace of God. This is the power of God. This is the strength that God has given us, because we trusted in Him and we have acknowledged our need of Him and we've called upon Him and God has heard us. Friends, we will have a testimony that will glorify God. Those two boys that needed help in their maths, only one of them had a testimony. It was the one that needed the help, acknowledged his need rather, and sought the help that he needed. And he came to a position of relative strength in his subject because of his acknowledgement of his need and his receiving of the help that was given. Friends, how much greater testimony will you and I have that the living God has helped us? He has enabled us in that place of weakness. And it's a testimony that will glorify God. It would be to His praise. It would be to His glory, because it will be seen that what has happened and what has been done is not of you, it's not of me, and it's not of us. It is of God. What God has been done solely by His power and His grace, and all we have done is receive that grace and that power. We've acknowledged our need, we've called upon Him, we've trusted Him, and God has done it. Friend, this is the God that we have, friends. He wants to do all of these things so that He gets all the glory. We have a testimony, but the testimony elevates Him. It glorifies Him. It is to His praise and His glory. Oh, friends, may God have that more and more in this day, when there's so little that testifies to His glory. Even in the church, sad to say, God wants a group of people, He wants individuals up and down the land that He can use in such a way to glorify His name. That's the first thing. The second thing is that when God works in our lives in such a way, then our faith will be enlarged. Our faith will be enlarged. When we see what God has done in our weakness and through our weakness, then surely our faith will be hugely enlarged as we see the greatness of God. Not only will our faith be enlarged, but our love for Him will be enlarged. Our adoration for Him will be increased. Our desire to praise Him will be increased. Our relationship with Him will be deepened when God is able to do this in our lives. So friends, this is the second consequence. When God is able to get a hold of us in this way, we will have a testimony, but our faith will be enlarged and our love for Him will be increased as well. And we'll be in a deeper relationship with Him. And the third thing, excuse me, the third thing is we will also be able to say, as Paul said, back to 2 Corinthians 12, therefore I am well content with weaknesses. Friends, we will be then in a position where we will be content with our weaknesses. I mean, God has said, I'm not going to take it away. And we have to live with whatever we have to live with, even if it's for a short period of time, or even a long period of time, even a lifelong weakness. We will be able to say, as Paul said, I am well content with weaknesses. Not because he was some kind of masochist, because he saw that in that place of weakness, his relationship with the Lord was deepening. He was knowing more of the power of God in his life. He was receiving more of the grace of God in that weakness. Friends, when we're in that place, we too, like Paul, would be able to say, I am well content with the weaknesses, with all these things for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul saw that the strength that he had come to would not have been possible without this weakness. Isn't that wonderful, friends, that God can do something through the weakness that he could not have done otherwise? He could bring us to a place that he could not have brought us to without the weakness in our lives. So friends, if you're discouraged this morning because there's a weakness that you're facing, that you have in your life, then friends, look at it from God's perspective. God is seeking to do something in and through the weakness and he can't do otherwise, and bring you to a place of real strength where you have a testimony, where your love for him will be deeper, where your faith will be enlarged, and you'll be able to say, I am content with my weaknesses. Friend, that's not an easy position to get to, but God can get us there when we work with him and we agree with him and surrender to him and allow him to work in our lives. See, God is able to meet all our needs, friends. We need to trust him. And we need, instead of being overcome by weaknesses, we can overcome them by the grace that God gives and the power that God gives. Well, fourthly, and I think I've just mentioned this anyway, but I mentioned it again, without the weakness, I would never have understood or experienced the power that I had experienced is I would have experienced otherwise. So Paul is saying there's a power that has come to him because of this weakness, because of God allowing the weakness to stay with him. Then he's experienced a power in his life that he wouldn't have experienced otherwise. And it's the same for us, friends. These weaknesses that we face now or in the future are opportunities for God to demonstrate a power in us, excuse me, that he couldn't have otherwise. So let's rejoice, let's be content in these things. Let's, as Paul said, even boast in them. Now that's, again, a difficult place to get to, but God is able to get us there. And one final consequence, Hebrews 5 verse 8, back to what we looked at a few minutes ago, Hebrews 5 verse 8. We'll conclude with this, I think. Although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obeyed him the source of eternal salvation. Is that verse 8 there? I didn't read verse 7. I'll read verse 7 again as well. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the thing which he suffered. Friends, there is growth in our suffering. There is growth in suffering. Jesus learned obedience. We can learn obedience. We can grow in this place of weakness. Weaknesses are not to define us. They're not to overwhelm us. They're not to bring us to a place where they are an excuse not to grow in Christ. They're not an excuse, friends. We are to grow up into Christ. We can grow spiritually despite the weaknesses. And that is the consequence. One of the consequences that can be true for us when we agree with God, when we see things from his perspective, when we call upon him, take hold of his grace and his power, and believe him and trust him, and come to that place of strength, even out of weakness, then there is growth as well in our lives. Growth that God is giving. Growth that God is bringing us into that he couldn't otherwise. Well, we have a great God, friends, and he's able to do all these things. He's done it down through the ages for his people of old, and he can do it for us today. Let's pray.